Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
What's up, pal? John Feinstein, best-selling author, Washington Post columnist. He's brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or at golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf. On and off the course, Golfdom, live the game. Good morning, John.
Good morning, fellas. Happy Thanksgiving.
Yep, you too. Got any special plans for tomorrow?
Our usual. Family comes here. We cook a chicken and a duck.
Okay.
Because almost no one in the family likes turkey.
Right.
And so we cook chicken for most everybody, and the duck is for me, dating back to when my mom used to fix me a duck because I've never liked turkey. So.
Right.
Watch some football, watch some hoops, watch some Godfather.
Chicken.
I think a duck is delicious, and I don't have any problem with what you're doing. I'd still feel like someone should cook a little turkey just to have on the table.
Duck is kind of a
blind spot
for
me. You know, we did that for a long time.
Yeah.
And then what my wife noticed, who is a great cook, was that not that much of the turkey was getting eaten.
Yeah.
And Jane started preferring my duck. And so she brought up the idea, well, what if we cook a chicken instead of a turkey? And we all thought that was a good idea. So that's what we do.
Yeah. Okay. That's good.
You know,
so
we put on pilgrim hats.
No,
we don't. I'm making that up.
Last Friday, we talked to you about Lamar Jackson. That was before
really?
The Monday night game. How about that?
He's unreal. I mean, he really is. You think you're waiting for him to have a down week or a week where he's just ordinary. And then he goes out and tops himself. It's like Harbaugh said 2 weeks ago when I went to their game against the Texans, which was supposed to be a close game, and he made one of those plays where he literally made five tacklers miss him. And I asked John, I said, does he do that? Do you get used to that, or do you still get a little open mouth when he does it? And he said, we see him in practice every day. But I got to say, I've never seen a move like that. And then he stopped and smiled and he said, except for last week when he made that incredible move against Cincinnati. And he's the best player in the NFL right now. And God bless Ozzie Newsome for being smart enough to take him when most of his peers wanted to make him a running back or a wide receiver.
This is so interesting to me because we had this wave in 2012, right, with Cap and RG3 and Russell Wilson, and the league sort of seemed to adapt. Of course, Robert got hurt, and Cap's play went down. Russell settled in a little bit more as a pocket sort of passer. I don't know enough about sort of the X's and O's to know the difference, but it seems like sort of the same thing. Is this sustainable? Is he going to be doing this next year?
Yes. And it's different. It's not. He doesn't run. The RPO was the thing back then in 2012.
Yeah.
And and we all know that Griffin's biggest problem was that he tried to run people over. Russell Wilson's smarter than that, and he doesn't run RPOs now. And Lamar Jackson doesn't run RPOs. What they do, he runs on occasion out of the offense where it's a straight run, where he just takes a snap, usually out of the shotgun, and takes off. And sometimes he scrambles. But what he's proven, as Russell Wilson has proven over the years, certainly, is that he's a good pocket passer. He threw five touchdown passes last week, for crying out loud. I still think Griffin's career would have been a lot different if he hadn't hurt his knee in that playoff game, and if they had gotten him off the field right away, and if they hadn't brought him back too soon because he wanted to come back. You guys know the story. I remember he was Rookie of the Year, and Robert Griffin's a bright guy, and I think he would have adapted his game eventually. He would have learned not to run over people. He would have learned to slide, and it wouldn't have ended as badly as it did here. I'm one of those guys, and I'll hold my hand up, who thought the deal they made when they moved up to two to pick him was a good deal, because I thought
he
was that good.
Me too.
And for 1 year I was right, and since then I was obviously wrong.
Right.
But Lamar Jackson does not take hard hits 99% of the time. He's so elusive and so hard to get a solid hit on, and he knows when to step out of bounds. Defenses will adapt because defenses always adapt to offenses. But I think he's going to be a star in the league for a long time. And all these people who are saying, well, it's fine till he gets hurt. Quarterbacks get hurt. I mean, look at the league this year. Quarterbacks get hurt, whether they're drop back passers, whether they're rollout passers, whether they're running RPOs. Quarterbacks get hurt. So will Lamar Jackson get hurt at some point? Yeah, he probably will. But it's not going to be because of the way he plays. It's going to be because quarterbacks get hurt.
And, John, talk about Harbaugh's willingness to adapt a system to his skill set. Not only that, he also is embracing analytics. They hired a 25- or 26-year-old kid that majored in behavioral sciences from Yale to help crunch the numbers as the game is ongoing to give them,
They go for it on fourth down all the time.
Yeah, so they've completely embraced the analytics side and adapted the offense to Jackson's skill set.
By the way, one of the first teams to do that and embrace those analytics and go for it on fourth down was Army.
Right.
You guys know I watch Army a lot. And Jeff Munkin brought in an analytics person 3-4 years ago. And they go for fourth down. I mean, I've seen them go for fourth down from their own 15-yard line early in the game. And the statistics say you're going to make it more often than not. Sometimes you don't, obviously, but the analytics is now a part of sports. I mean, to this day, if you asked me to explain war and how it's calculated, I couldn't. I just know that if you have a high war, that's good, and if you have a low war, that's bad in baseball. But you're right about that, and he did. He figured out when Joe Flacco got hurt last year, and they sort of had to adapt the offense to Lamar Jackson on the fly, and he realized Lamar was going to be the quarterback next year. I mean, he said after they lost in the playoffs, we're going to trade Joe. There's a place for Joe to play in this league. And I mean, there was none of that fooling around saying, well, we'll see what happens, blah, blah. We're trading him. Lamar's our quarterback. And they did change the offense to use his skills to their utmost. The other thing they've done is they've gotten some good receivers. 2 years ago, when I was doing a quarterback book and Flacco was still the quarterback, they didn't have anybody who could catch a ball.
Mm-hmm.
Now they've got some good receivers. They've got some speed down the field. They can go vertical, to use the football term, when they want to. And the other thing, let's not forget, their defense has really improved a lot this year. The last couple of years, their defense wasn't that great.
John, I'd like to get your opinion on Selfie Gate with Dwayne Haskins. We didn't think it was that big a deal, but it definitely was a no-no. It's not something you can endorse, and I'm sure he'll never do it again. But what was your take on that? What does it tell you?
Well, first of all, I love the post headline. I don't know if you noticed it the next day. It said photo finish, which I thought was pretty good. Look, he made a mistake. It was from over exuberance because he was probably stunned that they won a game.
Right.
And I think he probably, I hope he's certainly smart enough to know that he made a mistake, that he can't ever do that again. But you know what, in a different way, in a different context, it's kind of symbolic of this organization, isn't it? Even when they get something right and win a game, there's still something screwed up about it.
Did you read Sally Jenkins' article? I thought she nailed it. I thought she nailed it.
She did. Yeah. And that she was 100% right. And it is one of those things that if Dwayne Haskins goes on and wins a Super Bowl someday,
we'll forget.
People will still write that in his first career win, he embarrassed himself by not being alert to the fact that the game was over. I mean, you should never go take a selfie with a fan. Even after the game, you should be at midfield shaking hands with the other team.
Yeah, but then you can.
It's not
then
a big deal.
On your way off the field or something like that. But that should be what you do first. Go find the other quarterback, whatever it might be. But look, he made a mistake. There was clearly no malice in the mistake. And forgive him and move on. But it is something. It's one of those things that because it's so odd, it will stay with him. And when people think of Mark Sanchez with the Jets, what do they think of?
Yeah, yeah.
The butt fumble.
Right.
They don't think of the fact that he took them to two conference championship games.
True, but I do think if he has success, that'll be in the background. But maybe you're right. Maybe it'll be there forever, regardless.
Well, it'll be in the background. Of course it will be. But it's like I've always said, different context. But as great a coach as Bob Knight was, what do we think of first, or at least near first, when we think of him?
We think
of him throwing the chair.
Yeah.
Talking to best-selling author, Washington Post columnist John Feinstein. Sticking with that organization, this is just a guess. We've been speculating about Bruce Allen's future. when you see an owner who's looking at his stadium half full at best, fans of the opposing team, chance of sell the team, tickets being sold on the secondary market for $4.
Yep.
What do you think happens?
Well, you know, you guys know Dan never blames himself. Mm-hmm. It's never his fault. So obviously they're going to have a new coach next year. And what does he do with his guy, Bruce? Now, Bruce is very smart about sticking real close to Dan and telling Dan he's always right and telling Dan it's the media's fault and telling Dan he's a great guy. That's how he's kept his job this long. I don't think firing Bruce Allen or moving Bruce Allen to a job as alumni director, which he's probably qualified for, is going to change the culture of this team. What would change the culture of this team would be bringing in a real football guy as the president and have him bring in a real football guy as the general manager and have the two of them hire a good coach.
Why do you need
both?
You
guys really think that'll happen?
Why do you need both? Why do you need a president and a GM?
Because two minds are better than one. It's very simple. You know, if you have two good football minds working together, and they're leading, and they go out and hire a good scouting group. And I don't know that the scouting group isn't good. I mean, you guys know I'm a big fan of Doug Williams. And just completely, you got to reorganize. You got to go back to square one. Mm-hmm. You got to say, and Dan, if Dan really cares about what's best for the team, he buys an island somewhere and goes spends the next 5 years on it.
My understanding is,
and lets the football guys run it and check. You know, he can get satellite TV there and watch all the games and cheer the team on from there.
Yeah, here's the problem: is that the team? I think last year I think in revenue, Forbes or Bloomberg said their revenue was something like $483 million. Their net profit was something like $183 million.
They went up TV contracts, right?
Yeah. They went up $320 million in equity, sort of in the team value. So he made about $500 million last year, and they were awful, right? So he's never going to sell.
Of every NFL team. I mean, the Bengals have been awful. You know, not awful. They had several good seasons, but they've been a bad organization for a long time too. And they're making money hand over fist like everybody else.
Everybody is. So he's never going to sell. That's just silly.
No. Somebody asked me yesterday, I'm sorry to interrupt, Eric, but somebody asked me yesterday, what if Jeff Bezos came in and said, the value of your team is $3.5 million, I'll write you a check for $5 billion, excuse me, I'll write you a check for $5 billion right now. He's not going to sell.
No, because he'll get there in 3 years anyway.
Admitting defeat, he's not going to do that.
Well, plus, in 2 years, it'll be worth $5 billion.
Right.
Yeah, exactly right. And why walk away from the kind of profit margin you guys are talking about?
Right. And I don't know if you saw the quotes, and this is the thing that's so discouraged. So Dan will be there as long as we're alive, or his kid will.
Longer than I'll be alive, that's for sure.
Yeah, me too, I'm sure. You know, Kyle Shanahan said, so even if they get rid of Bruce, Kyle Shanahan was quoted this week something about this win, and of course he took another dig at the Redskins, and he said how great that organization's been the last 2 years. He doesn't have the owner telling him who to play every week.
Right.
Which, I mean, we're doomed.
Well, you know, you're right, because the owner, that's why I'm saying he should go to an island.
Yeah.
And just stay away and not bring any Wi-Fi material with him. But I remember... several years ago, I was talking to Steve Spurrier on the phone, and mm-hmm. I made a comment about how life must be better without Dan. And he laughed, and he said, oh, I didn't mind old Danny. He paid me a lot of money to put up with all that blank.
Right.
And that's what if you're going to work for Dan Snyder, you're going to put up with a lot of blank.
Right. Yep.
And the worst part of it is, you know, if you're being paid all that money, you do what you got to do. But it makes it almost impossible for the coach and or general manager to put together the kind of team he needs to put together. And the only guy he gave any latitude was
Joe.
Was Gibbs, because you know, he worshipped Gibbs. And so Gibbs had some latitude, and besides that, he was still a very good coach, not what he was the first time around, but they did make postseason 2 times in 4 years when he was there.
What do you make of Jerry? It just seems like Garrett, I mean, he's got to at least make the NFC Championship or he's for sure gone.
I think so. Because winning the division is meaningless because the division's awful. I think what I calculate, the other three teams in the division are 9-24 combined, and they're 6-5 and leading it by one game over the Eagles. I would say he's got to win at least one playoff game and maybe two, because they're obviously going to play wild card weekend if they make the playoffs, for him to keep his job. And you know what? I think it might be better for everybody. Jason Garrett will get a job. You know, they're already talking in New York if he gets fired that maybe the Giants should hire him because he played there. But he'll get a job, and maybe after 9 full seasons, it's time to bring in a new voice, to bring in a, quote, new culture. I know that's a cliche. And Jerry Jones was clearly frustrated. By the way, you guys know I'm no Cowboys fan. In fact, if anything, I'm a Belichick fan. But those two so-called kicks were absolute phantoms.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, and the NFL has now admitted that. They were terrible calls.
Right.
And I get, Mike Pereira, who I usually like, actually said on the air, well, they had to call that because he lifted his foot. How the hell do you move without lifting your feet?
Right.
It's kind
of tough.
And
that's literally what he did. He lifted his foot. It didn't come out in any way. And the officiating in the league, they've made it so complicated with all the damn rules that it's almost impossible for the officials to do a good job. I think it's more on the rules than on the officials.
Will John Feinstein watch The Irishman on Netflix?
The Irishman?
You don't know The Irishman? It's Martin Scorsese.
Does he even have Netflix?
I don't even know how to get to Netflix. My wife probably can. But I wouldn't even know how to get there.
It's Scorsese.
So the only movie I will watch this weekend for sure is I'll watch some of the Godfather stuff tomorrow.
Okay, but wouldn't you want to watch?
That's a Thanksgiving tradition, you know?
Okay.
Leave the gun, bring the cannoli.
Okay, but you've got De Niro. You've got Pesci.
And I'm also a fan of Scorsese. So.
And Scorsese, and there's de-aging.
If my wife can figure out how to get on Netflix, maybe I'll watch it.
Now, here's the downside, John. I believe it's 3.5 hours long.
It is.
Well, I could watch it in segments.
You could do that. Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
I like to do that anyway.
All right, John.
Have a great holiday.
Segment. Happy Thanksgiving.
Hey, happy Thanksgiving to you guys. Talk to you next week.
Yep.
That's John Feinstein, brought to you by Golfdom, located in Tysons, Virginia, or golfdomgolf.com. Visit today to experience the best in golf on and off the course. Golfdom, live the game. Speaking of games, we're going to play a little game next.
Very good.
We have two more pairs of tickets to the World Series documentary Red Carpet Premiere, which is presented by Budweiser. Call in now at 800-636-1067. We'll get you a chance to win those tickets. You get to hang out with Ryan Zimmerman, Mike Rizzo, Mark Lerner, and more at the Anthem. That's coming up December 2nd. 800-636-1067. We'll do that when we come back. Don't go anywhere.
All right, football fans, the NFL Draft is almost here, and the Free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. AUDACY. Download it today.
Mike Rizzo, Mark Lerner, and more will be hanging out. That's December 2nd at the Anthem. Details at thefandc.com. And we're going to play a little box score breakdown.
Ooh, good.
But it's not from anything in the last year. In fact, it's from last Thanksgiving. Let's punch up our first contestant.
Going way back.
All right. Let's go to Adam Burke. Hey, Adam.
Hey, what's up, guys?
What's up, Adam?
So the Redskins played on Thanksgiving last year against the Dallas Cowboys. By the way, this is how different a year, you know, the years are. Last year, they were 6-4. And in playoff contention, playing a 5-5 Dallas Cowboys team. Their quarterback that day, the Redskins quarterback, was 24-38 for 268 yards, 2 touchdowns, 3 picks. Finished with a quarterback rating of 68. Who was that quarterback?
Yuck.
Let's see. Was it Kirk Cousins?
Kirk Cousins last year. Let's go to the next contestant. This is when we play games. Sometimes it reminds me of these are our listeners and what they're actually picking up. Kirk Cousins.
A lot of Kevin McCarthy's out there, apparently.
All right, let's go to Billy in Germantown. Billy, what's up?
Billy already bailed.
All right, let's go to...
I didn't think it was that hard.
Graham from Richmond calling on 105.1 The Fan. What's up, Graham?
Well, good morning, Junks. What's up, y'all?
Hey, Graham.
Same question for you. He threw 3 picks on Thanksgiving when the Redskins were 6-4.
And here's a hint.
Losing to the Cowboys.
He was actually on the Redskins roster in 2018.
Okay, he wasn't in Minnesota.
This person.
Can you... Oh, boy. The only one I can think of is Alex Smith, though.
Wasn't Alex Smith? These, again, are listeners of a sports station. Let's go to the next contestant.
Why don't you rephrase the question?
Sure. Dean.
Good morning.
Hey,
so
Dean.
So this quarterback, last Thanksgiving, 2018, in a big game against the Cowboys, because the Redskins, I believe, were leading the division at the time at 6-4, completed 24 of 38 passes for 268 yards. Had two touchdown passes. He did have three picks. Just name that quarterback.
Colt McCoy.
It was Colt McCoy.
You're a winner, sir. You get a pair of tickets to the World Series documentary Red Carpet Premiere presented by Budweiser. Join Ryan Zimmerman, Mike Rizzo, Mark Lerner, and more December 2nd at the Anthem. Details at thefandc.com.
All right, we got one more pair of tickets to give away. I'm a little nervous about this one because it's a Cowboys question, but we'll see.
All right, let's go to John in Vienna. Hey, John, what's up, buddy? You're on with the Junkies.
Hey, good morning, guys.
What's up?
So, John, in that same Thanksgiving game, just a year ago, which was a huge game, the Redskins ended up losing that game 31-24, I believe. Name this wide receiver who caught eight balls against them for 180 yards and two touchdowns. Or 140 yards and two touchdowns.
Would it be... Amari Cooper?
It was Amari Cooper. Congrats.
Eventually he got it. He tracked and found it.
That was, he had a 90-yarder.
Yes.
Against Ha-Ha Clinton Dix. The glorious days of Ha-Ha Clinton Dix.
What a run that was for Clinton Dix here in D.C.
Last year, like this year has been such a dud, right?
Mm-hmm.
You always want, we say this all the time, you always want the teams to be winners. More interest. I mean, let's look at our ratings during this Nats run.
Yep.
The ratings of the station were unbelievable.
Yeah, dare I say all-time high.
Mm-hmm. People love winners.
Yeah.
So last year, they actually were in the mix at 6-3.
We're close.
Alex goes down. Colt takes over. And just, you know, I guess Colt only lasted a couple of starts because then you get to Mark Sanchez and Josh Johnson.
Well, didn't he last one start? Didn't he break his leg in the Eagles game? Or did he have more than one? Was there one
that
in between?
That would be a second start because he had the Cowboys start.
Okay, so that's two. Okay.
Had the Cowboys start, which was the 11th game.
Got
and
it.
Then they fell to 6-5, where they were tied with the Cowboys, both teams 6-5. And then they, maybe then it's the Eagles, and then it becomes
I just feel
Sanchez
bad for Josh Johnson. We talked about it earlier because he was on the Lions for a moment this year, and they released him.
They decided not to go with three quarterbacks. They went with two.
Yeah, and then now they need him and because he's aligned himself with the XFL. The XFL's blocking him from signing.
You know, I don't blame the XFL.
I guess they have. He signed a contract.
Signed a deal.
By the way, I'm surprised. Have we not received XFL Defenders gear?
I've not seen any.
So I saw online that the Defenders were sending stuff out.
Do I really want it?
I mean, maybe.
I mean, I know cakes get sized.
I would wear it. Of course I would wear it.
If it's nice, I would wear it. If it's taupe. If it's not that nice, I'm not going to wear it. But if it's nice... probably would wear it.
You're wearing a full-on grout fit today.
I know.
Gray
I got
sweatpants,
my grout fit.
Gray hoodie. Yeah.
What is it?
I mean, they're Maryland sweatpants and a St. Andrews lacrosse sweatshirt.
You came close.
Three
like,
teams right now.
The grays are very close.
They are. Believe me, I noticed it when I was dressing myself.
Let me guess. Slides?
No. Hokas from Pacers.
Nice.
I got to thank my man, Chris Farley.
It's not just a Hoka 1. It's a Hoka 1-1.
Yes.
Hoka 1-1s. They're silly. He gave me those Swedish shoes, too, that you have. With the Ons or whatever.
The Richard Ons.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's so inside.
Nobody gets that. Yeah. But I don't care.
Yeah.
Mark
Roberge gets it.
I pride myself on obscure zings that nobody
do
gets.
Do you like those Ons?
I've only
worn them once or twice.
I like the Richards.
If you had to guess right now, we have no idea. So last year, the Redskins were in playoff contention, really until the last couple of games.
Yeah.
And technically, they might have been in playoff contention. But clearly on Thanksgiving, they were at 6-4. Then they fall to 6-5. You're still grasping.
Yeah.
If you had to predict next Thanksgiving.
Right. Well, what will the
record
be? I mean,
there's a million things can happen.
What are we now? We're 2-9?
Yes.
2-9.
Like a 4-7.
Yeah,
it's impossible to know.
Like 4-7 is good. It's a good dart throw.
But where do we see the trajectory of this team going?
It's the same. Well, it has the same as it's been in the last decade.
It has to be up. It has to be pointing up.
It has to be.
It can't be. They're going to go winless next year. It has to be pointing upwards.
Well, we should have an easier schedule if there's such a thing. I mean, I don't know who's who you can count on that would be
worse. I never buy into the easier schedule because the Patriots win the Super Bowl like every other year, and this year they've got clearly the easiest schedule.
Yeah. Well, that's part of because of the division
they're
in.
That's part of it, but I mean, they've got a bunch of dregs on that.
I'm going to say
4-7.
It's hard to argue that. 5-6 would be optimistic.
God.
Yeah. And but that's it's just such a farce to even say that because you don't know anything. You don't know who's going to be. You don't know who's playing anywhere.
Free agency draft.
Yeah, no, you just know, you don't know who the coach is. You know nothing.
GM.
But just based on sort of the history of the franchise under Dan, meh. Could they get off to a good start? It's unlikely. Haskins will probably be there, full of himself. Won't work that hard in the offseason.
I'm telling you, the disaster scenario, and I hadn't thought about it today.
Buy a new car.
The disastrous scenario for the Redskins would be if in the next few weeks. Haskins suffers an injury which is going to keep him out for a year. Because then
that would be really
you're not
bad.
Even going to get to judge him next year.
Yeah.
And you're going to bring him back in year three when he could be a bust.
Yeah. No, that'd be
he
really
might not
bad.
Be. He could end up being a Pro Bowler. I hate when people say, you said he's going to be a bust. I'm not saying he's going to be a bust.
Yeah.
Could be.
I told you this at the top of the show. I've actually worked up a nice little lather for this week's game. I want to see if he can actually complete those throws that he missed.
I mean, he
where he had guys wide open, you know, in the end zone.
Should have at least had one.
Two.
An average NFL quarterback would have had a couple of touchdown passes.
I'd say two.
Well, the one where McLaurin is crossing, I even told my son, who's 12, I said, you could have made that touchdown pass.
He's yeah.
Like, really? I was like, you can throw the ball 20 yards, can't you?
Yeah. I think he's going to play better. He might throw another pick, or two, or three. But I think he's going to play a little bit better. I saw a few things. I'm actually intrigued.
Can't play much worse. They didn't score a touchdown. He completed only 13 out of 29 passes.
Yeah. I think they'll lose, but I think he'll play better. So I don't know.
I don't know. I'll tell you this. He may play better. I picked up Carolina's defense this week in fantasy. It's a huge fantasy game.
It's probably a good move by
I'm
you.
I'm also super intrigued.
I can also see a pick six. Like some of those outs,
yeah, sure.
He got it picked off on the one out pattern. He had a fumble, pocket presence.
Oh, yeah, He's inaccurate.
I think the Carolina Panthers are number two in the NFL in sacks.
If he tries to say, you know, to thread him in a little tighter this time because he doesn't want to overthrow guys, you could see an extra pick or two.
Well,
I could see that happen.
I mean, should be more pressure on the quarterback.
I'm also intrigued to see what our young DBs do. Do they put together another nice game?
Hopefully. You have a spill over there?
Just a little bit. Very little bit. Yeah, I don't know. For a 2-9 team, I can't believe that I'm this intrigued to watch them.
You know, let's throw it out there. It is Wednesday, and the Redskins don't play till Sunday, but is there any buzz for this game on Sunday?
There's no buzz.
Well, EB, you theorized earlier that 5-10% more people might be interested.
Well, I think anytime you win, it gets you a little bit more interest. Yeah.
800-636-1067 are your sites for the Redskins game on Sunday. We can take some of those calls, and we'll open up the entertainment page here on the Junkie. Welcome back. Junkies on 106.7 The Fan. Judging on the phone calls, not a lot of people hyped for Sunday's Redskins.
Well,
Carolina
I mean,
Panthers
the way you
game.
Preface it, no one's really sized. But I'm working up a little lather for the game. I am. I want to see Dwayne.
Okay, so let's use your language. Is anybody out there working up a lather for Sunday's game? 1:00.
I'm interested.
That's a little early to work up the lather.
It is.
Wednesday.
It's the day before Thanksgiving.
I know, but we're not here the next 2 days.
Yeah. No
so
one's thinking about it.
Talk about
Everybody's
it.
Thinking about the dumb, terrible Thanksgiving games.
If you want to chime in, 800-636-1067. Should mention, it's me and Cakes at Glory Days Grill this Sunday at 11 o'clock for your pregame as we work up a lather. We do a fantasy notebook at 11:45.
Mm-hmm.
We go around the league in the second hour, so we do mix things up.
Yes. I'm just curious to see if he can just tighten it up a little bit. Make some of those same reads, but just actually execute on a couple of those throws.
Make some connections
with
T-Mac. Yeah.
Let me give you a line, and let me ask you if you'd be butt-sized for this line.
Go ahead. What are you writing down?
All right, so Dwayne Haskins on Sunday against the Carolina Panthers.
Yeah.
Goes 16-31.
All right, so it's over 50%. Yeah. Which you'll take that at this point.
198 yards.
Well, not going to be sized.
Two touchdowns.
That'll be okay.
One pick, four sacks.
That's just
four sacks is a lot.
That's just a mediocre line. That's pretty mediocre.
That's kind of what I'm vibing
in his
on.
Progression, though.
By the way, four sacks is about the average of Carolina every game.
In his progression, that would be a good step.
Well,
for
the
him.
Fact that you have two touchdowns.
And the fact that he throws for over 50%. He was well below 50% this past week.
Yeah.
Well below.
Although two more completions, he's above 50% because it's not like he's throwing it 50 times.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't know. I just want to see a lot of those same reads, but just actually hit on those throws.
Here's the sad thing about the game on Sunday. You want to see Haskins. They're probably, based on game plan and based on the defense, going to run the football a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, anytime Haskins, anytime Callahan is the head coach of a team, I would plan on them running a lot.
Yeah, I mean, just defensively, hold on, let me look up the passing stats and rushing stats for the Carolina Panthers. But I'm pretty sure they're pretty weak against the run.
Right.
So
yeah, but
get
still,
ready for a lot of running the football.
That's always going to be part of it. But if they're down, they're going to have to pass, presumably, which I expect that they'll be down. They'll have a difficult time slowing down McCaffrey, right? Because no one's really slowed him down. Although they did remarkably well last year.
He gets slowed down sometimes rushing the football.
Yeah.
But then he catches 10 balls.
Yeah.
You know,
he's going to be a nightmare matchup for us. I don't think there's any question about it. He's a nightmare for everybody. So, you know, hopefully we'll be down. And then we'll just be from behind, and we'll be forced to throw.
Yeah, Carolina's
be slinging it.
Yeah, I mean, and then let's just see what the kid's got. See if he improves a little bit.
Carolina's 27th in the NFL against the run, giving up about 127.5 per game. Just to give you a perspective, the team that is next, the Washington Redskins, at 28th.
Right. And I do want to see what the young DBs do. Even though some of these guys, I mean, I didn't even know they were on the roster a few weeks ago.
Right.
You know, but. Anyway, it's fun. I look forward to it. I'm a diehard. And if it's close at the end, I'd like to see him steal the dub, even though it's meaningless. I don't know. Just makes my week a little bit better. That's just me.
All right, let's do a little entertainment, Paige.
All right, boys.
Now, this is the EP that gets us through to Monday, so this better be good.
This has got to be really good. There's
a lot
of pressure.
It better be solid. It better be very entertaining.
All right, well, I think all the bloggers are already on vacation.
Oh, really? Yeah.
I'll give you the first story. Remember we talked about my guy, Kevin O'Leary, and his boating accident?
Yes.
With his wife, Linda, captaining the boat.
Okay.
Apparently, they smashed into the boat ahead of them that didn't have their navigation lights on because they were stargazing. They turned their lights off because they wanted to see the stars. Well, all that did was make them vulnerable to another boat plowing into them.
Yeah.
So the
boat that got crashed into had its lights off.
Correct. And that's why they're largely in the clear on this.
Yeah. Have you ever done stargazing, Cakes?
Yes, but not in a boat with all its lights turned off.
And at 11:30 at night.
Yeah, but that would never, ever in a trillion years happen.
Seems very stupid. But that's why they're basically going to skate on this.
Yeah.
Although they have charged the wife with driving too fast.
Yeah.
She appeared to be driving the boat too fast. They initially said that she was not drinking. Now they're saying they did find alcohol on her breath, shocker, after the crash. She claims, and I don't know if this makes any sense, that someone gave her a vodka drink after the accident.
The vodka drink. She had a whiskey drink. She had a cider drink. Right. Yeah. How can I not do? If anybody says a vodka drink or a whiskey drink, I'm going to go into Chumbawamba. It's just, it's going to happen.
Sorry.
Just the way it is. Sorry, that's life.
This story jumps out at me. You saw that Harry Morton died. Now, you don't know him, but he was like the owner of Pink Taco. And remember, years ago, he was sort of in the news because he was dating Lindsay Lohan. He's dated a bunch of celebrities.
What is Pink Taco?
I think it's some restaurant out in like Vegas. Chain of restaurants.
I think I ate there.
Yeah,
I think I ate there with my brother like many, many moons ago.
Yes.
I felt like maybe the Junkies.
Like at the Hard Rock. I think it's the Hard Rock.
I think it was. So
good memory I have.
Anyway, I think he dated Jennifer Aniston.
Yeah.
He definitely dated Lindsay Lohan. Guy was a good looking guy.
Yeah.
38 years old. Died this week out of nowhere. And everyone just assumed, well, drug overdose, another sort of like Hollywood guy kind of. You know, overindulging.
Just sullying his name.
They say he was very much into that Ayahuasca. Is that how you say it?
Ayahuasca,
whatever that is. Ayahuasca.
It's like a hallucinogenic.
Yeah. But they're saying, no, that's not why he died. He died from just a sudden cardiac death. Ooh. He had coronary artery disease, didn't even know it.
Yikes.
Another guy, 38 years old. He had calcification in three main arteries of his heart. Everybody thought he was healthy.
Yeah.
And just donked off.
That's terrible.
You should have got those sound waves.
Well, they can't. They use that for your Johnson.
Yeah, it's for a different part of the
body. They can't
do
that with your heart. They would like to. They can't do that, the calcification of your heart, because it would mess up the rhythm of your heart.
Yeah.
They'd like to.
Give you an arrhythmia. You don't want an arrhythmia.
No. You want your heart. You don't want to mess up the rhythm of your heart.
Gotcha.
But that breaks up the calcification for your junk.
Okay.
Yeah, hit me up on Twitter if you want information about that. Metro Men's Health. Good. I'm telling you. You bring a bigger bat to the plate if you do that.
Or you can just go bluechew.com.
Everybody's chew
it.
Got there.
Even on an empty stomach.
Everyone mentioned your JP. Your ED sponsor.
Right.
You can get Roman.
Yeah.
Jason, he also calls Jason's real the only doctor. One that doesn't have one. Yeah. Is that correct?
Roman also calls great plays for the Ravens.
Meanwhile, Jason probably the one that needs it the most.
Right. He'd probably break the sound wave machine.
It's a good lucrative space for the junkies. Let's not hate on it.
I think you got some fellow Redskins fans that are working up a lather.
All right.
I thought you said don't use the word sized. You're upset.
I mean, no one's really sized. They're 2-9. But I'm just trying to work up a little energy for it.
Just shooting a torpedo right in the Hall of Fame.
Yeah, I mean, do we really have to take these? It's 9:51.
Let's just do one of them. Brandon, what's up?
Hey, what's up, fellas? Good morning.
What's up, man?
Hey.
So, like you guys said, man, I'm not hyped up for it. But, I mean, the rest of the season is really just watching Dwayne really find himself in Groves. But the point I wanted to make, he cannot keep consistently missing McLaurin. I mean, McLaurin is open all the time. I went back and watched some of the film, and like this dude, he looks like he's been in the league for 3-4 years. Like, he was beating Darius Slay, who was like no slouch himself. He was making Slay look like the rookie, but he's got to hit these open.
Do you have the, do you pay for the all 22?
What was that?
Do you pay for the all 22?
No, I don't.
So then how are you watching the film?
I was just watching the highlights. You know,
you can't say you're watching the film. You watch the freaking game. You can't even see anything on
it. No, but you don't need to watch the film to see him miss wide open Terry McLaurin several times.
Yeah, but the all 22 is different because you can actually see everything.
Do that. Well, hey, enjoy your Thanksgiving, guys.
All right, you
thanks,
too.
Man, you
but
too.
You can't call in here and say you watched the film and you just watched the TV coverage of the game.
SportsCenter. Doesn't count.
TV. I just told Granddaddy they missed the trivia question. Our listeners thought last year's quarterback on Thanksgiving was Alex Smith
right,
or Kirk Cousins.
Right.
And then another guy just hung up.
Nobody pays attention. Nobody. Nobody remembers anything. I, by the way, said it was Mark Sanchez at JPS.
But you're at least, only off by a few weeks.
At least he was on the roster.
Yeah.
Or at least he played for the Redskins in 2018. I'm not sure if he was on the roster at that point. He may have been.
We talked about Justin Timberlake yesterday while he was photographed and filmed on that balcony in New Orleans with his co-star holding hands. She was rubbing his leg. They tried to act like everything's all innocent.
Yeah.
They're canoodling, EB, your favorite word.
That's basically, I don't know if that's canoodling.
Close.
It's close.
Canoodling means you're like in a booth sitting on the same side together, getting kind of touchy-feely, in my opinion.
Well, she's touching her leg.
They're not sitting in a booth in a restaurant. I think that's what canoodling is. You're
if
sitting
you rest
down,
your hand on some dude's knee, you're either getting after it or you're planning on it.
And he was getting sized. Wow. If she's hot, hand on leg.
Yeah. But anyway, everybody wants to know what Jessica Biel's reaction was. And I don't think they've spoken to her yet, but they did see her. Of course, they can't wait to see her walking around L.A. And they noticed that she was still wearing her wedding ring cakes. So is that the kind of thing where she would take it off immediately?
I don't know. I don't really
mean anything.
I don't really care about Jessica Biel or whether they have marital harmony.
I'm predicting 6 months they're Dunsky.
It could be.
6 months they're Dunsky.
6 months seems fast, but I would definitely take it within 2 years.
Well, that's just an average sort of Hollywood relationship. Doesn't last that long.
That's true.
I'm going to say within 6 months based on this incident.
All right, we got to get out of here. Happy Thanksgiving to everybody. For KXCB, I'm JP.
Be safe, everybody.
Brandon
Chicken,
Ness
turkey. On the fan.
What up, y'all? It's your boy Danny Green, 3-time NBA champ. You either rooted for me or rooted against me. Join myself and my co-host Harrison Sanford on the Inside the Green Room podcast.
It's a podcast that brings you never-before-told tales from the locker room to candid interviews with basketball legends to breakdowns of what's happening in the NBA right now. Whether you're a diehard fan or casual about your hoops, this podcast brings you the game like never before.
Follow Inside the Green Room on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.